We welcome you to worship at College Park. We're so excited that you are here today. We'd like to find out who is in worship. And the way we do that are the pew pads that you'll find on every pew. We invite members and guests. We ask you to take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information, and check the correct boxes. We ask that you send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it gets to that last person, once you're done, if you could send it back to where it got started this morning, we certainly would appreciate that. We do ask, when it gets back to that first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, that will help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Several announcements that you'll find in our upcoming events and opportunities for the week. I just want you to make aware of a few of them. Today is our fall festival. Our fall family festival starts at 4 o'clock. We will serve dinner at 5 o'clock. We invite everyone to come. All are invited. We will be having soup and chili desserts and all the things in between. There are sign-up sheets outside of Smith Hall. If you're able to provide something, please sign your name down. Let us know that you're bringing something. We typically have a lot of food, and we're very thankful for all the people who provide that. So, big day today, Fall Family Festival. We will be having several things outside. The food will be served inside. U-Turn will be playing a couple times during tonight, so it's just going to be a great time together. Reminder to our children, we are having children's time in just a few minutes, right after that first hymn. Let's see. Also, this Wednesday is an important vote in the life of our church. It is our vote for our mission, our ministry action plan, our budget. We have talked about that for the last couple of weeks. It's time to vote on that this Wednesday. I want you to make note of that. Mary.
Just a reminder that book club will meet tomorrow night at 7 o'clock down in the former Adult 3 area, now containing classes of all ages. Anyway, we will meet there at 7 o'clock. For those that are in the Thursday morning group, we will not meet this week. We will meet next week, November, I want to say the 4th, I believe is the date, but that Thursday morning next week instead of this week. And I look forward to seeing you.
Reminder to all those who have been a part of our Wednesday night classes, they will resume this Wednesday night. There's a class for all parents of teenagers called The Space Between. And then also there's the financial class, Money, Purpose, Joy. And then also the class that Raymond is teaching there in Smith Hall, The Christian Atheist. So with several things that are offered for us starting back up this Wednesday evening. Also, we are in the middle of Operation Christmas Child. This is a international project that churches around the world have been a part of over the last several years, including ours. This is the Shoebox Ministry. Our young people, our youth, and our children are sponsoring Operation Christmas Child. We invite you to bring new items. You'll see a list there outside the table, Smith Hall. Of items that will go into these boxes, hygiene items for boys and girls. There's toys, any kind of school supplies, any of those kinds of things. All those things are welcome. There are collection boxes there at the hallway right outside Smith Hall. And so we're going to be collecting those over the next couple of weeks. Then our youth and our children on November 9th will get together and put the boxes together. Take all the collected items, box them, and they will be shipped off to children around the world for Christmas. So we hope that you're able to be a part of that. There is information there in your newsletter as well if you have questions, or I'll be glad to answer any questions you have. I think that's all the announcements we have. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We're especially blessed by your presence today. If you're a guest, we just ask you to just raise your hand right where you are. Our ushers will recognize you and give you a packet of information. You have already given us your information in the pew pad a few moments ago, and we are thankful for that. We want to give this information to you, give you a little bit of the story of College Park, a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church, and we're especially blessed by your presence today. there. We do have a guest upstairs, if we can head up there. Thank you, ushers. Don't everybody go at once. All right. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. What do you have to be joyful about today? What do you have today to be thankful for? It's easy for us to focus on the negative and the challenges, but this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Will you pray with me? Father, today we have come to praise your name. We have come needing to be in your presence. I have come needing to be in your presence. Father, this world can leave us confused at times, asking questions that don't always have easy answers. We find great pain at times in this world. But Father, today is your day. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We rejoice because you are here. And when you're here, everything else fades. So help us focus on you. Help us worship you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. on down. Children, come on down. All right. Sit right here. Everybody kind of face this way. I need everybody still, real still. Everybody real still facing this way. All right. Look at that jacket. Come in. Hello. Good job. You want to sit up here? You can sit right there. Okay. How's everybody this morning? I need everybody freeze. Everybody freeze right where you are. Now, I have a question. A very serious question. How do you love God? How do you... Loving other people. There went my sermon. Okay. Raymond, we can go home early today. That's good. I need you to sit still. Okay, sit still. All right. Now, how do you love God? How do you do that? Sam, how do you do that? What do you think? How do you do that? What do you think? Shine your light, yeah? Well, let me ask it this way. Okay, this is a very serious question. Is it easier to love God or to go eat Chuck E. Cheese pizza for a birthday party? It's easier to love God.
No, it's easier to go get Chuck E. Cheese.
Ah, now the truth. It's easier to go get Chuck E. Cheese pizza. All right, let me ask this. Is it easier to love God or to make fun of somebody when they fall down at the playground?
Make fun of somebody when they fall down.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes, you know, it's hard to love God, isn't it?
Yeah.
To do it the way that He wants us to. I know. Especially when there's those people, you know, there's some people that we just don't get along with, right? Right? There are some people we just don't get along with. But do you know what? Do you know what? Jesus gives us two very important commands. Everybody freeze. To love God with everything you have and love other people just as much as you love yourself. Do you love yourself? Yeah. Do you make sure you get food? Yeah, sort of. Well, sometimes. Like right now? Okay. Sometimes. But see, we have to love our neighbors just as much as we love ourselves. That's hard. Loving God with everything is hard. But those are the two most important things. So when you're at Chuck E. Cheese and somebody cuts in line and you're waiting for to play skee-ball or whatever game you're going to play, you don't pop their head off. That's a good rule. That's the 11th commandment right there. That's the 11th commandment. You don't pop. Or when somebody's at school and you're on the playground and they fall down, you don't laugh. You help them up. You don't laugh at them. You love them just as much as you love yourself. Those are two things that Pastor Raymond is going to talk about. It's not easy to do those two things. But if we do those two things, love God and love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves, everything else will be okay. That's exactly right. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the lessons that these children teach us, teach me. Father, I pray that we listen to the words of these kids and the words that we hear in Scripture to love you with everything that we've got and to love our neighbors just as much as we love ourselves, because those two things actually go hand in hand. If we do those things, then everything else will be so much easier. God, we love you, and we thank you for how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seats now.
Amen. Thank you, choir. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Old Testament. We're reading two passages from the Old Testament. The first of which is from the book of Psalms in the first chapter of Psalms. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. This is Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And from the book of Leviticus, in the 19th chapter of Leviticus, the first two verses, and then continuing at verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so that you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.'" May God add his blessing to the reading and the understanding of his holy word. May we join together in prayer. Dear Lord, on this great Sabbath day, this beautiful day that you've created for us, we come to you in this hour of worship with thankful hearts, with joyful hearts, with much to be joyful about and much to be thankful for. Lord, most of all, thank you for your presence with us in this hour and for what you mean to us. It is a blessing to have the opportunity to worship you at College Park today. It's a blessing to have the opportunity to come to you in prayer on behalf of the people. Lord, we're most thankful for your presence. We're also thankful for the presence of everyone here and all who are a part of our church family, whether officially or unofficially, whether by relationships or those in our community or those who we know are our family members. Lord, today we lift them and us all to you. Lord, I thank you for each person gathered here, for carrying us through this past week, and for loving us today and giving us the hope and the joy and the peace that you bring to our lives through our knowledge of you. Lord, I thank you for our senior adults. I thank you for their caringness, their consistency, their commitment. I'm so encouraged, Lord, to see people that don't feel well at all. And I know it must have been an incredible struggle for them to come to this building today. But they came with a smile on their face. And they came because this is what you do on Sunday. You go to church, you worship God, and you grow closer to him. Lord, thank you for all of our adults and our parents, in all the ways that you use everyone to serve in the name of Jesus Christ here at College Park, for those who give of their time so unselfishly to serve the children, to serve the youth, to serve each other, to serve the people in this community. Lord, thank you for calling all of our adults and all of our parents who have many, many things to do, many responsibilities and many competing distractions. But their commitment to this place and to serving in the name of Jesus Christ is powerful, and it's a witness, and I thank you for that. Lord, for our young adults, I thank you for them, and we lift them up to you. Individuals whose lives are very complicated with many different demands, searching for calling, searching for vocational peace and strength, searching to what you may have next in store for their lives. We thank you for them. And we thank you because we're always encouraged to see young adults following you and seeking to grow closer in you and serve you. And we're thankful for that. Lord, for our students, we lift them up to you. Individuals who are seeking to learn, seeking to grow, seeking to find your path and your calling for their lives. Thank you for touching them, and please be with them in everything they experience in their lives. And for our children, Lord, we give great thanks. You encourage us through them, and you teach us so much. And our hope is renewed, our joy is renewed when we see them, and how powerful it is to see these young kids learning about Jesus and knowing the incredible ways that you're going to work in their lives. Lord, you've called us together, and we come together because we believe, number one, that we need to come together and worship you, and number two, that we can do far more together than we can on our own. Please lead us, Lord, and call us and strengthen us as we seek to be the Church of Jesus Christ, doing great things for you and our community, reaching out to those that don't know you, reaching out to those who are in need, and spreading the joy and the peace and the love that we have the blessing to experience today and every day through you. Lord, for all our people, I give you thanks. For this hour of worship, I give you thanks. And for loving us and caring about us each and every day, I give you thanks. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Recently, I picked something up on the internet that made me think for a few minutes, and so I wanted to share that with you. It's called We Are Blessed. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the million people who will not survive the week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pains of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people around the world. If you attend a church meeting without fear of harassment, arrest, or torture of death, you are more blessed than almost 3 billion people in the world. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of this world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change in a dish someplace, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If your parents are still married and alive, you are very rare, even in the United States. If you hold up your head with a smile on your face and are truly thankful, you are blessed because the majority of us can, but most do not. If you can read, you are more blessed than over 2 billion people in the world that cannot read anything at all. When you compare our day-to-day problems with bigger problems around the world, our troubles may not seem so large, and the author is unknown. You know, it's probably been 10 or 15 years ago, several of us had the privilege of working with a young man from Belarus. One day, asked a burning question that I'll never forget. And that question was, as you know, Belarus is a very poor country. The question was, why do you think that some people in God's world are given enough food every day to eat, and many people in the world are starving? How would you answer that question? I'll never forget his looks when he asked the question. May we pray? God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity of coming to worship you. And we thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, we know that we are so unworthy, and we know that you love all of us. And we know that it's only because of your grace that we have what we have. We ask your blessings on the people who are across the world trying to spread your word, to bring the good news to those who are hurting so and who need to know you. Lord, we thank you for our church staff and for their leadership and for all of the members. Help us to have open eyes and open heart so that we will be receptive to your will, because we know that we are committed. We want to do your will. Forgive us where we fail thee, and bless these gifts to thy service. These things we ask in thy name. Amen.
I want to invite you to take your Bible. We're going to be reading or continuing our reading from Matthew chapter 22. That's a good looking group of young people here on the front row, isn't it? Amen. Amen's from the front row. You'll recall last week and previous weeks we've been reading through Matthew, and we're going to pick up with verse 34 out of Matthew chapter 22 today. Well, again, as Jason has mentioned, if you didn't bring your Bible, that's okay. There should be one close by there in the back of the pew there, so feel free to take it and turn with us. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. As I was reading this passage and I was talking about the lawyer coming to Jesus, I resisted the temptation to bring my list of lawyer jokes on your behalf, Jason. I restrained myself. But as I was thinking about, you know, trick questions, my mind went to presidential debates. Because if you've ever want the definition of loaded question, just listen to presidential debates. And my mind kind of went back to 04. It's amazing what you can find on YouTube. If you go back to 04, the presidential debates of 2004, there were basically four topics of discussion slash argument slash exaggeration, if you will. The first topic was the war in Iraq. The second topic was the economy. Seems to be always a topic. The third topic was health care. And the fourth topic was actually the credibility of both candidates. They were both questioning each other's credibility. And there were three presidential debates there, and each one, at the end of each one, you sit and you watch them again, and you go, I'm not really sure anybody won that. You know, I'm not sure there's a clear winner there. And the passage that I was reading from Matthew kind of reminds me of these debates for several reasons. The question is put to Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? And it's obviously a loaded question. You know, we don't have to think too far. I mean, it's recorded right there in Scripture. The Sadducees couldn't figure out how to stump him. So the Pharisees, and one of their law experts, hey, I got a question for him. So, I mean, it's a loaded question. It was actually the third in a series of four topics for exaggeration or discussion or whatever that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Jesus were talking about. Hot topic number one. What was it? Were you here last week? What did we talk about last week? Taxation. Should we pay the poll tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay it or not, Jesus? And obviously that was a loaded question. Hot topic number two, which begins in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 22, dealt with the issue of resurrection. Okay? And today's topic presented by the lawyer says, teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Okay, think back. Most of us know, we know all about Moses. We know about the Ten Commandments, right? We know all about those, right? Okay, I didn't see it. We got to start over again, people. That we know about the Ten Commandments, but by the time Jesus came, walked on this earth, there were not just 10 laws, there were some 616 that we know of. 616 plus laws that a good Jew, a faithful Jew, was expected to know and to follow. 616. And you thought being a Baptist was difficult. 600 plus laws, just knowing them would be bad enough. But following them? You know, and in Matthew's setting of this question that's presented to Jesus, understand, Jesus has returned to Jerusalem, okay? Palm Sunday has already happened, all right? By the time we read this, Palm Sunday has already happened, and this is what's going on during the week. Palm Sunday is past, Golgotha is ahead, okay? Understand, where we're going here. And it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees' desire to make sure that Jesus ended up at Golgotha. That was their motivation. Everything was designed to try to place Jesus in a position where he would either violate Hebrew law or Roman law. Either one was fine with them. They just wanted to get him arrested and executed. That was the plan. Again, I'm reminded of the presidential debates because while I was watching those debates again, I felt this kind of occasional, granted it was just occasional sense of compassion for which candidate seemed at the moment really to be risking his political future, not on a matter of fundamental importance to our country, but just on like a misspoken word. Or maybe a forgotten fact or a confused reference or a wrong look on his face. I mean, no doubt they were under incredible pressure to think right, speak right, even look right. And I thought to myself, is that what Jesus experienced? I mean, that kind of pressure to say exactly the right thing, to be so clear about what you were saying that it couldn't be misconstrued or twisted, is that the kind of pressure that Jesus felt? And then in my mind, I said, no. This is the Son of God. He knows where it's all headed. He knows why he came. He knew his mission. He knows where it's headed. Is he worried about disappointing human beings? Doubtful. Who is he afraid of disappointing? His Father. Yeah. Yeah, in his mind, I like to believe, I'm fairly confident that I can say his concern was, Father, help me to be faithful. Whatever I say, whatever I do, help me to be faithful. He said, love God above everything else. That was consistent with what he did and what he said. Love God above everything else and love your neighbor as yourself. And I think we read these verses so often and we hear them quoted so often that in their familiarity they could lose power. We don't really understand. These answers are not wimpy little sound bites about God is love. That they're not wimpy. These were life and death times for Jesus. Each question, each sparring with the Pharisees or the religious political machine, if you will, each sparring was a trap that they wanted to spring on him. The questions put to Jesus were intended to disarm and harm. But yet, he stood and answered them with love and compassion for the people who were trying to trap him. Now, at least from my perspective, the question that he was asked really wasn't difficult. You know, what is the greatest commandment? The answer to that was as ancient as Moses. Every faithful Jew knew it by heart. They wrote it on their arms and on their foreheads. It rested by their front doors. It was called the Shema, and it's recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. And he quoted verse 5 of that, which resonated with the people. This was not new information. It was a reminder of what was most important. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, and with all of your mind. And then he added to that Leviticus chapter 19 verse 18, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I suspect those words were familiar. But what followed, I suspect, was where Jesus stepped out on the limb and gave them some new information, because he said, on those two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. Well, now think about it. They obviously didn't have the New Testament yet. It hadn't been written. So what was Scripture to them? The law and the prophets. Exactly. The law and the prophets. So on these two commands, love God with all that you've got, love your neighbor as yourself, with those two commandments, everything else hangs on those. If you do those two things, you don't have to worry about the other 614 plus. They're going to take care of themselves. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's interesting to consider the order that Jesus gave his response in. He could have flip-flopped him, but he didn't. While Jesus spoke the commandment about loving God first and the commandment about loving neighbor and self second, he didn't make one more important than the other. Because he said, and second, and the second is like it. A second is like it. In other words, loving God is loving your neighbor as yourself. And loving your neighbor as yourself is loving God. See, when we put them in priority, obviously we love the God who created us. But obviously he desires for us to love our neighbor as ourselves. That kind of changes things. It kind of changes things for us. Loving God is loving your neighbor as yourself. Loving your neighbor as yourself is loving God. I would love to have been a fly on the wall to see how they reacted. We don't have it. Matthew doesn't record it. He doesn't tell us what happened. He doesn't tell us what the lawyer's response was. He doesn't tell us what the reaction of the crowd was. He doesn't report that, but he does say Jesus immediately moved on to the fourth controversy, which was a question that he initiated about the ancestry of the Messiah, which is interesting. I wonder if they got the significance. He knew Golgotha was coming. He knew the Messiah was about to be sacrificed. In previous presidential debates, accusations are always made, and seldom is there ever time for the candidates to respond and really get to the heart of the matter. Usually the other person's talking over them or screaming or, you know, it gets somewhat chaotic. And in a sense, the same could be said for Jesus' response on love from this aspect. Words simply are never enough. To love God, to love your neighbor, to love oneself is too often just a sound bite. And without knowing about the Good Samaritan, what it means to love your neighbor and who your neighbor is, and without the story of the father who stood on the porch, hoping, praying that his son, who had in effect said, "Dad, I wish you were dead so I could spend your money." The father who stood there waiting for this prodigal son, expecting this prodigal son to return, without that story, without the story of Mary Magdalene's loyalty, even in the face of crucifixion, or the story of Jesus' steadfastness, even unto death, without those stories, there is no flesh and blood understanding of the radical nature of what Jesus was saying that day. Love God with all that you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. Loving one's neighbor in the Jewish tradition of Jesus' day meant loving people like yourself. It meant Jews loving Jews. And Jesus tore their playhouse down. He broke open their understanding of what neighbor is. Anyone, Jesus taught, anyone who is in need, anyone who is alive is our neighbor. That's what it means to love God. You love other people. And that's where it gets messy. You know, we all have people that we don't like. Don't we? Don't sit there pious. We all have people that we don't like. Yes. All right. And acknowledge that. We have people that we don't like their actions. Right? We have people that we don't like their actions. There are people out there, and I don't mean to rock your world, there are people out there that probably don't like you either. Just saying. There are probably people that do not like you. We have to love the people that we don't like, and we have to love the people that don't like us. And we're not capable of doing that in and of ourselves, are we? No. No. It is God's love through us. It is God's love through us. Who is your unlovable person? Who is it that you have a hard time loving? Think about it. This week, think about it. Find a way with God's help, God's power, God's strength, God's mercy to love that person. And not just make it an intellectual exercise. Make it faith in action. Show God's love in appropriate ways to those who are the unlovables. Young people. The one that sits by themselves in the cafeteria because nobody else wants to be associated with them. Yeah, they're out there, aren't they? Yeah. Love them in appropriate ways. Adults. The outcast at work, the one that's a know-it-all, the one that's irritating, the one that nobody wants to say anything for fear that they'll go on a rant. Whatever the situation is, show love to the unlovables. In his book, The Prophet, Cahil Gibran puts kind of a new twist on this idea. He says, when you love, you should not say, God is in my heart, but rather say, I am in the heart of God. To love God above everything else and to love my neighbor as myself and as I love myself is to exist within the heart of God. I think this is precisely what Jesus wanted for us. Not to win a debate over religious practices, not to become a leader of a religious movement, but to touch people with the love of God. I think that's why we're here. Open our eyes, Father. Open our hearts. Open our hands. What does that look like in your life? We pray that God would teach us how to love. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, in your mercy and through your strength, we pray that we would truly learn how to love. Not as we selfishly desire, but as you love us unconditionally. God, it does become messy. Because our human pride, our selfishness, all those things, our need to control, all those things come into play. But we pray that this week we would see people differently. That we would see them with your eyes. That we would slow down long enough to listen to your voice. That we would make that effort. Perhaps to love and to show respect and concern and compassion for those that we've either neglected or we've been openly hostile to. God, we love you. We pray that we would be obedient to the greatest commandments that you've given us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen.
Expand my vision, open up my
Jesus said, love God with all that you are and love your neighbor as yourself. I think the invitation is pretty clear to us. If you are not a believer, if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, today's your day. I can't think of a better day. I can't imagine walking out of this place not knowing Jesus Christ. I'd be glad to share with you how you can have a personal relationship with Him. If you're here this morning, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you know God personally through Him, but yet you're having trouble loving your neighbor, this is a good day to kind of work that out too. You know, talk with Him. And we're going to stand and sing in just a moment. Rather than singing, just open your heart to God. Talk with Him about it. Let Him give you His strength to deal with the unlovable people in your life. If you want to come here to the front and pray, you're welcome to do so. I'll be glad to talk with you, pray with you, whatever you need. Certainly you're welcome to do that. Again, where you're standing or sitting. If you're here and you say, I love this church, I want to be a part of it as an official member. There are ways we receive, many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. I think most important thing for us today is to realize that Jesus did not separate the commandment to love God with all that we are from the commandment to love each other. I think it's important for us to notice He did not disconnect it, nor should we. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand and sing together. Response, be sure and speak to the people around you. Express your love and concern and compassion for them. And as we go from this place, pray for one another. Pray that we would be faithful to God's leadership in our lives this week, okay? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as we go from this place, allow us to go with your love and with your mercy, your compassion, seeing people through your eyes. God, we love you and we thank you for the opportunities you give us. And we pray that we would be faithful. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5622. 5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.